This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. So I found myself this afternoon in the back of a church talking to world-renowned violinist Daisy Joplin about Native Americans. Of course, just a regular Thursday afternoon. And now we are recording a Zoom, and I sit at my kitchen table with the dogs at my feet as usual. And Daisy, thank you so much for being able to do this on such short notice. Please introduce us to the beautiful musician sitting next to you.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to be here. Casey, you're the best. Love you more than ever.
Yeah.
And I am so honored to be with Evan Pritchard. He is a Native American from the Mi'kmaq tribe. And he and I have so many beautiful connections. Maybe I could say the most important and profound is that we are here to really bring honor and reverence to the future of all of us coming together and creating a beautiful harmony and reconciliation. So we are deeply connected in our reason for why we're collaborating together. But Evan also, for example, studied composition at Juilliard.
Oh, heard of it.
You know, so seeing as I went to the kind of Juilliard of London, the Royal College of Music, you know, we share that background and then we just share the same motive of really wanting to bring forth the sacred wisdom of the indigenous peoples to the world. And that is why we're creating this amazing project together.
And boy, does the world need it. Boy, does the world need it. So, Evan, I grew up here in the Hudson Valley where it's easy to drive around and have history just smack you in the face. Like where I grew up in the town of Verplank, Washington camped there, and I saw a beautiful watercolor of Washington's encampment from an eyewitness of the time. It's in the National Museum of the Revolution in Philadelphia, I think. I know it's in Philadelphia. I don't know if that's the name of the museum. And when I saw the landscape, I cried because in my little town of Verplank, it looks exactly the same. Because we're on a peninsula in the Hudson River where Washington camped looks the same as it did then. So as I drive around my Hudson Valley, I have the imagination and it's like the spirit grabs me and I can think about what our land looked like when only Native Americans lived here. Does that sound weird to you?
Not at all.
Okay. I think about all the time, what would our lives be like if we didn't totally screw this up? What would America look like if we had grown up side by side, right? With the people who were here. I think about what our schools would look like and what our holidays would look like, and everything would be so different. And right now, when the world needs it most, I'm in the back of a church today, and Daisy Joplin is telling me that Daniel Ninim saved George Washington's life. Like, that's crazy. Tell us how you guys met to come together on this message.
Well, I also want to say, because Evan is also a renowned author and probably holds the most knowledge about the history of all of the Native American tribes here in the Hudson Valley, but, you know, reaching out to the whole Five Borough area. I mean, just all around here. So it's just such an honor, Evan, to work with you and such a joy, honestly, as well. And we met through a mutual friend, Linda Law, who is probably one of the greatest holographic artists in the States, maybe in the world. She's created a couple of Holo Center museums, and she's good. She lives in Kingston, where Evan lives. They're good friends. And when I told her about my idea to want to really, you know, bring the culture of Native American people to us, to me, you know, to all of us right now, and how I feel it can really help us move forward and meld with all our different knowledges and point of view, you know, to make something really magnificent together, she said, "You've got to meet Evan Pritchard."
Wow.
And, you know, when we met immediately, there were just so many correlations and synchronicities. And Evan actually is, we were in my apartment and Evan was just looking at my bookshelf. He's like, "I have every one of these books. I have a story about every one of these. You have Schoenberg's Lady, what?" You know, like, so anyway, just so much connection. And
I love those kind of friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so many different beautiful synchronicities. Alana Sweeney, her from Putnam County, Katie sent me the story of Daniel Nimmam, and I was blown away by it. And I knew Evan would be the one who knows most about it. So I called Evan and said, would you please work with me on the idea of bringing this story to light in a musical, theatrical production, which is what we're now doing.
Honey, I have a question.
Yeah, I'd love Evan to tell the story, you know.
He will. But not only are you not Native American, you're not even American.
I'm actually, you know, as I always say, okay, you guys, you think you're celebrating the 250th anniversary of getting rid of the British. Oh, no, not that easy. We're still here. No, but it is. That's what the whole point. Like I, as an extremely British white citizen, am collaborating with Evan and some incredible, maybe some of the best dancers, Native American dancers in the world, Indigenous Enterprise, to really come together and create from all of our different paths and our histories, just something incredible and something which weaves, you know, and heals all of the past to something really beautiful in the future, which is what I believe is possible.
All right. I believe if you believe, Evan, tell us the story. What are you guys working on?
Well, there's one part in this play where it's commented that if Daniel Nimmam hadn't died defending George Washington, what would have happened? And because when he died, the whole Wappingers Confederacy really kind of was set back. It never really reached complete stability again. And it went on, but a lot of people went into hiding in plain sight, including in Beacon, by the way, and also out west. And the thing is that they, if he had lived such a renowned chief, he might have found a way to help inspire American citizenry from coast to coast about the really positive virtues of the Native American life, because, you know, he was a great spokesman for that kind of thing, you see. So it did matter. So that's one of the points I wanted to make in the play.
Yeah. It's fascinating, I know, because many people are learning for the very first time this minute that a Native American saved George Washington's life. If you haven't seen the documentary, Evan, could you tell us the story of how he did that?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of historians believe this is what happened, interpreting it. But George Washington was in White Plains that day, the fateful day of August 31st of 1778, and that's where Nimmam, that was the day Nimmam died at Cortland Ridge. Well, it was 6 miles up Broadway and up this, you know, the main road in that time, Route 22, to White Plains, where he was signing letters, sending letters to his various generals, and kind of saying, well, here I am in White Plains, wonderful day, have a nice day, and telling them what to do. And it does seem very likely that that Simcoe, who was the head of the Dragoons that they had not yet called that, was, you know, in Cortland Ridge, and he was angry at the Native Americans under Nimmam, and so he did a kind of a little rush on them on his horse, and some of his men came rushing into their camp and tried to scare them and stir them up. So that's when the Daniel Nimmam, who was at least 50, probably 60, there's a little doubt, mid-50s or 60s, jumped on the back of his horse as he raced by, grabbed him and threw him off onto the ground, and they wrestled on the ground. And, you know, Simcoe was younger, of course, but I would pick Nimmam. I'd put money on Nimmam to win that battle because he was in excellent position. And so he was trying to stop him from killing Washington, which is not something that everybody would necessarily agree on, but it seems very, that's the legend. It seems very clear to me. Yep. And so what happened was very dramatic, is that Simcoe's orderly saw what was going on, had a pocket pistol, and went right up and shot Nimmam in the back.
Ugh.
And so it was a small gun, and he did not die immediately, but the person, the orderly, brought Simcoe away from the scene so he'd be safe, because he was an important person to the British. And so then Nimmam lived for a few more, who knows how long, many minutes, and his men carried him more or less to Tibbetts Brook, which we call Moshulu. If you heard of the Moshulu Parkway, you know, and a lot of people think, oh, it's a Hebrew word or something. No, it's a Lenape word. And it means that it's a field that has been cleared by fire. And which is an old agricultural trick, right? But anyway, it's called the Moshulu Brook, or now Tibbetts Brook. And they took him to the edge of that to wash him and to try to revive him and wash his wounds. And in fact, he said, no, let me, like an old tree, die here, the most famous of his sayings. And then he died. And because he died, the Wappingers' fate was changed, and they absorbed into various tribes, including the Stockbridge Band of Mohicans, and Munsee was part of that. And then also his son Aaron went west with a hope of a new Wappingers nation out in Wisconsin. But, you know, it wasn't to be. What? So part of that is in the play, in the we're in the spirit world, and it's all very open. Like, yeah, you're in the spirit world. You're dreaming. You know, this is we're in the afterlife. And so here's Ninham, and then comes George Washington walking up, and you know, very full of, you know, confidence. And he's like, "Where am I? You know, what is this place?" "Oh, well, you're near West Point, but you're way up in the clouds here in the spirit world." And that so it's like there's always questions: do they know they're dead? Well, Ninham's going to tell them. And so they reconcile, because actually they were friends at Valley Forge, because Ninham had fought at Valley Forge and got to know Washington somewhat. And in the play, of course, you can, you know, add to spice in Washington's, "Oh, I loved all those funny stories you would tell around the campfire." And I know that Ninham told funny stories around the campfire. I mean, I have no doubt.
Wow.
Like, he was clever. So there's more to the story. When Simcoe shows up in this spirit world, it's like, "Well, where am I? You know, what's going on?" He says, "Well, you know, this is the spirit world." And he says, "Oh, so you're dead?" He says, "Yes." And basically, "So are you." And they reconcile.
All right.
And they make peace with their souls, so to speak. That's some of the play.
And we are talking to musicians and composers, Evan Pritchard and Daisy Jopling, and they are working on a phenomenal musical about the spirit world and some of the people who helped give birth to this country. Evan, I could follow you around for days just listening to these stories. First of all, I know Frank and Barry, the producer back at the station, probably just like, you know, dropped his coffee when you said, how do you say? We say Moshaloo Parkway, like it's a Jewish word, but it's not. Right. How do you say? Moshaloo?
Moshaloo. Yeah.
Shulu. Oh, we've been saying it wrong, trying to give it away to other people. That's amazing. Oh, my God. And Daniel Ninham. Many of us in the Hudson Valley grew up going to festivals where the Daniel Ninham powwow dancers come out. I always enjoyed them. I would get on the drum and sing with them. I didn't realize who Daniel Ninham actually was, and now I'm a little bit embarrassed about that.
Well, let me interrupt, because I was at all 19 of those powwows, so we met. And the story is that many years ago, Gil Tarbox.
I showed Daisy his picture today on my phone, yeah.
So he had a dream, and Daniel Ninham came to him and said, "You know, people are forgetting my name, and that's just not right. If you do powwows called the Daniel Ninham Powwow, they will never forget my name. So go right ahead." And he did. And he did 19 excellent powwows, really amazing powwows, I have to say, every year for 19 years.
Wow.
And then he died. Then Gil Tarbox then died. And so it was decided that we shouldn't have any more of those powwows without Gil, because he really, you know, was his thing.
He was the heart and soul. He made me a believer. I got that little drum and I was, you know, singing along with everybody. So, and it felt good because, you know, Daisy introduced you as Mi'kmaq. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Those of us who are not Native American, we don't want to get it wrong. You know what I mean? We don't want to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. I was at a wedding and it was at Senasqua Park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right. And I said to the people getting married, I said, "Hey, this is, you know, this is holy ground here. We're standing on Native American land. Would you mind if in my toast I use the phrase Wanishi, which I understood to believe the Native American form, may the path be beautiful for you," which is a nice toast at a wedding, I thought. And they said, "Absolutely not. You cannot do that. You are not Native American. You may not use that toast." What do you think? You got a look on your face. What are you shaking your head? What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's what it means in, it's actually Yunami, but Wanishi, yeah, it means may the path be beautiful for you. I was taught that long ago. But Senasqua, by the way, mm-hmm. That when I first was taken there by this archaeologist, was very interested in all the artifacts there. And I was looking up the sign. I said, "Well, is there a big stone somewhere here that's in shallow water that's made up of various shells compacted together?" He said, "Yes. How did you know? You must be psychic." I says, "No, there's a giant sign that tells me that. Senasqua."
Wow.
He said, I never knew what it meant. But now he knows. So. Wow.
Cool, right, Daisy? So I ask you, would it have been wrong for me to say that blessing? Tell me the truth. I can take it.
Well, it's a matter of opinion.
How would you feel?
I don't know. I mean, I say it because, no, I'm very familiar. I'm very familiar with the Munsee language, and I write a lot of books about, you know, that involve Munsee language.
Munsee?
Munsee. That's the, I mean, you know, that's on the west side of the Hudson. It's all.
Yeah, we know Munsee. I didn't know that was a Native American word.
It's one of the most large and powerful tribes in the United States. What is now the United States? It wasn't then. It had another word. It was the Algonquin people were all over North America, right? And that's one of the largest of the groups was the Munsee people.
Listen. We got to get this story told. And I think 1,000 other stories. What do you think, Daisy?
Yeah, I feel like, okay, Mr. Grand Sachem, Daniel Nimmum, we're going to do our best.
Yeah.
And keep the story alive. And we're also, I mean, it's been so profound. I mentioned this to you that Evan, who, am I right saying this, Evan, you explained to me that you've kind of been given this honor of being like the voice of the Wappinger people. In other words, you know, the one to really bring, for example, music or so Evan holds the only person, as far as we know, these, you know, ancient indigenous melodies. And we're going to be incorporating some of them in our show. And they're not out there at all. Right. I mean, Evan's the only one to know about these melodies. He was asked by Munsee tribe person who was, you know, very near to the end of his life and called Evan, I need to give you some melodies. Evan went there. He sung all these melodies and then died.
Well, I mean, that not exactly accurate, but this
not quite accurate.
But the,
tell us,
you know,
tell us.
No, the spirit of the story is right.
Yeah.
There was a man, a Munsee man who was 95 years old and he passed away. But before he did, he sang some of these melodies and then he died. And they would say, oh, that's terrible. And it's the last one. And it was the songs. And so he said, no, I had a tape recorder hidden away because he knew he was, going to pass on.
Thank you for that.
This is so cool. Even better than my version.
Do we have actors for this play yet?
We've got some in our mind, but we haven't asked anybody yet. We're waiting for the dates will be around the July 4th weekend, probably end of August, mid-September as well. So we're looking at local sites like Constitution Island owned by West Point to perform this play. And right now, nothing has been fixed as far as dates. You will hear more. I'm sure we'll be back on when we have things fixed. And once we have the dates fixed, then we can book the actual performance. You know, the actor. So we haven't quite done it yet.
Would you consider more than one location?
Yes.
Because I would love to have you at Cortland Waterfront Park in Verplank. I would love to have you there.
It was amazing.
The original name was similar to Appomattox, by the way.
What's that?
Appomattox, for the whole area.
Really?
There's several names. There was a very populated place. And that was where they had powwows in 1900. So that you're talking about, you know, where the boats could come and land from the river. And that made the powwow very easy because people had so much stuff to bring and to just dump it on the land. And so that's why, you know, it was Indian Point.
Exactly right. That's why it was Indian Point, people. That's why it was Indian Point. And so many people growing up there as a kid would find at the river's edge, because at Verplank's Point where I grew up, it's the only place on the Hudson in this area where there's no train tracks, because it's a point, the trains cut across it, didn't go all the way out and come back, right? You only go to Verplank's Point if you're going to Verplank's Point, because the only way through, you know, you end up in Munsee, you cross the river. So people would go to the White Beach, we have white beaches, and they would find Native American artifacts. All growing up, people were bringing coins and arrowheads and...
Watch out, because of the tides, the way the tides go, these continually wash up on that white sand shore.
So now you know why I drive around thinking about what life could have been like, right? Because I'm walking where these people used to walk.
Right.
It's amazing. And now you're all going to take us to heaven.
Right.
With dancing and music and storytelling. And you're going to give us back or give us again this wisdom, this spiritual outlook, this feeling of oneness that we really, really need right this minute.
Absolutely. And it's all, I mean, what Evan's written, the script is so profound. Every time I read it through, I have tears. But, you know, of joy. I mean, it's so beautiful. And I think it's going to be really powerful, really inspirational, really uplifting, really healing. That's the whole message. And, you know, we've got some of the best Native American dancers in the world, this indigenous enterprise who I've been collaborating with, who are all-star,
yeah,
world champion Native American dancers with the most stunning regalia. You know, each piece of it has a beautiful ancestral story and has made by their family. And anyway, really, really powerful. So it's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. So summertime. And what's the name of the show?
Around the actual date of the 250th anniversary, it'll be close to July 4th, just to, you know, honor that. And, you know, I gave a whole program at Bosco Bell just a few months ago about the Wappingers and the real stories and their real histories, you know, and that was very exciting. And a man named, Larry Maxwell came up, who's, I thought, reminded me of George Washington at the time. I thought, if I ever do a play about George Washington, I want this guy in it. And now this play has George Washington in it and talking to Daniel Ninham and realizing how great a friend he had in Ninham.
Yeah. So it's called The Ninham Legacy.
Wow. Amazing.
I have chills.
I'm so happy, you guys. I'm so happy. And we're going to do more of this. Evan, I've got places I want you to give that talk.
Okay.
That basketball talk, you're going to be hearing from me. Daisy has a concert coming up, a candlelight concert at Graymore and Garrison. Everybody's welcome. That's on January 31st.
Yes, at 4 p.m. free concert. And Casey, thank you so much. You're amazing. And that whole Graymore place is amazing. The retreat is just such an inspirational, talking about healing, you know, incredible place. And you can have that, you know, you've been going to be given a luminary that you can hold and just say prayers for maybe people in your life who need it or somebody who's passed. So it's going to be a magical concert. And I'm actually performing with Alex Smith, who is an incredible pianist playing with very major artists around the world, like Lady Gaga. He does her jazz concerts with her, and a fabulous trumpeter called Egonum Sega. Oh, God.
There's blood on the poster. They just call it Ego.
Yeah, he just calls himself Ego because look at me. I can't even, you know.
Well, if anybody hasn't heard Daisy Doppin play, you have to go anywhere on that. There's thousands and thousands of websites to show her playing, and she plays very distinctively, very boldly, and it's very exciting the way she plays violin.
Oh, thank you. So Egonum Segafia. The history is so interesting because he came from Ghana, a place I happened to spend a couple of months in a very long time ago. Family grew up in Nigeria and Ghana, but came here with nothing, you know, played on the New York City subway and is now playing. You know, I'm very grateful to that he's playing with me, but he plays all the time in Carnegie Hall. I mean, he's, you know, a real inspirational story of somebody who's really made it big. And I'm so honored to have him come and play with us. He's one of the best trumpeters in the U.S. I mean, he's amazing.
Looking forward. Daisy Joplin in Garrison, January 31st. Go to the website, daisyjoplin.com.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, it is on my website, but it's on your website, of course. That's where you buy tickets.
Oh.
Is at the, you know, Graymore Retreat.
TonyMcFriars.org.
Yeah.
How's that? And what about you, Evan? Where can we stalk you?
Oh, here and there. I have to look at my calendar book tells me what to do. I just do it.
You have a website or some place where you...
Well, on Facebook right now, you can look up my name and there's often things happening. And I just got an ISCA grant and I'm going to play what I call Clovis Flint, the 11,000-year-old man. And he is a real piece of work. Okay. So I play this character who's very old. He remembers everything that ever happened and he was there wherever anything happened. He was somehow there and what to gripe and complain and convetch about, you see, because so it's funny, but incredibly educational. So I haven't chosen the sites yet, but I'm very open because I got like the NISCA grant to help go into populations and tell them about their local history. So wherever I am, that'll help determine, you know, the subject matter. And it's some of it's improv, of course, and some of it will be very funny.
I love it.
So cool. So that's New York State Council on the Arts, and that was wonderfully through our foundation. So we're so honored to
wonderful the day.
Help them. Amazing.
We could do three shows, but we have to go now. So before we go, I would like to say to everyone, may the path be beautiful for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you all for being amazing.
It should be, you know.
Yes.
So saying it is a no-brainer. Of course, the way should be beautiful for all of us. That's the way what we believe.
I love it.